This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Etopia Media's Entertainment News Network. We're about to speak to Brad Haley, who is the Executive Vice President of Marketing at Carl's Jr. and Hardee's Restaurants. Welcome to Etopia Media's Entertainment News Network.
Thanks, Mark. It's good to be here.
Before we talk about the person of the hour, why don't we talk about CKE Company and what its relationship is with its constituent parts?
Okay, CKE Restaurants is a holding company that owns three restaurant chains. The biggest and probably most familiar are the Carl's Jr. restaurant chain of about 1,000 restaurants, located primarily west of the Rockies and mostly in the southwest and western part of the United States, and then the Hardee's restaurants, which are located primarily in the Midwest and the southeast part of the United States, and that chain has 2,000 restaurants, and we also have La Salsa, which is right about 50 restaurants, I believe, and it's a small what's called a fast casual Mexican restaurant chain.
Okay, so this is a pretty big company. Can you say anything about revenues last year?
Revenues last year, I have to pull that for you, Mark. But we actually had a very good year last year. I have to give you a specific number, but we had a very good year last year. Both of our major brands had very strong same store sales results, which is sort of the acid test in the industry.
Okay, you're growing rather than shrinking.
Oh yes.
Okay, let's talk about the Paris Hilton ad.
Okay,
whose idea was it? Did it come from her agent, your company, the ad agency? What was the origin of this TV commercial?
Well, it was developed by our advertising agency, Mendelsohn Zion, based there in Los Angeles.
Now they'd worked for you before, hadn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they've worked on the Carl's Jr. side of the business for almost 10 years now.
Right,
and we gave them the assignment to come up with an ad for a burger at Carl's Jr. called the Spicy Barbecue $6 Burger.
Right.
And it's a product that has Tabasco sauce in the barbecue sauce, and it's topped with fried jalapeno strips. So it's a hot and spicy burger, and in whatever way creative people, whatever process creative people go through to come up with ideas for advertising, one of them thought that associating ourselves with Paris Hilton, whose tagline or common expression is "That's hot," would be a good marriage with the burger.
In fact, tracing back the origins of this commercial, one could even say it had a progenitor in the "That's a spicy meatball" commercial some time ago.
If you go way back,
right? Okay, and what was the time frame here? When did they come to you with the idea?
The advertising agency presented the idea to us. It's probably been about 3 months ago now.
Okay.
And we went through a series of discussions. For the first thing we did once we agreed on the concept for the ad was to approach Paris and her agent and discuss the concept, and I think she liked it immediately. And after that, it was just a matter of scheduling the production and filming the thing.
Can you say anything about how much you're paying her to do this?
You know, we haven't revealed that, Mark. But I'd say just in the last few days, we probably more than made our money back on the amount of free broadcasts of the ad across the country.
Does she have any profit participation?
She doesn't. No, we negotiated basically a talent fee for her appearance.
Okay, and then who did you get to produce and direct the spot?
The agency.
Or the agency handled all that.
Yeah, the agency handled all of that. And if people want to go to our website at www.carlsjr.com, they can see in a section dedicated to the Paris Hilton advertising, not various behind the scenes footage, including interviews with the director, with me, and with the agency principal Jordan Mendelsohn, who came up with the idea for the ad.
Okay, now were you present during the shooting?
I was.
What can you tell us about how it went? How long it took? What the atmosphere on the set was?
Oh, it was probably about a 9-hour day, and typically these things are never as exciting as they sound. I'd say probably Paris was probably behind the camera for a total of 2 hours, and she was a trooper. It was, you know, it's a long day to be wet and performing for that kind of time, but she did a good job. And the scariest part was fairly early on in filming. She was on top of the hood of the Bentley, and she was washing the car, and it was hot soapy water, and the car was waxed, and she actually slid off the front of the car And I was of course worried that she'd hurt herself, and she managed to land on her feet in high heels, which was an amazing talent. I couldn't do it, I can tell you that.
So you're saying she was in front of the camera and you were shooting for
about two hours?
Or?
Oh yeah, well, the total time was probably in front of the camera was 2 hours of an 8 hour day. Various camera setups and things take most of the time.
And would you say from what you saw, she's easy to work with?
Oh yeah, she was a trooper.
Okay, let's talk about the psychology here. Now, one would think watching this commercial that it would be nice to have sex with Paris Hilton, but where's the connection to buying a $6 burger from Carl's Jr.?
Yeah, well, the thing here is, again, it's sort of a simple, if you will, it's sort of a simple association that Paris herself, the situation of the ad, and the burger are all hot. And her association with the product and the ad is by virtue of the fact that she's become associated with the term that's hot.
So the idea is essentially to transfer the connection to it's hot clings to Paris Hilton and transfer it to the burger. Is that
which
the idea?
Is exactly, which is a spicy hot burger, exactly.
All right. Did you do any focus group testing of this, or talk to semanticists, psychologists, or just depended on Mr. Mendelsohn for the idea that premise is a valid one?
We've been developing ads, edgy ads of this type for about 10 years now, and probably the first example of an ad that would fall into this kind of a category was one that featured Dennis Rodman back in the days when he was the reigning bad boy of the NBA, and
it was
a similar ad where he didn't say anything on camera. He simply ate one of Carl's charbroiled burgers. I think it was the Superstar, and at the time he was covered with tattoos, and he was constantly getting in trouble with the NBA, and so
was the idea that one. If we go back to that a little, the idea is to transfer the sense that the person eating the hamburger can be a bad boy like Dennis Rodman.
Well,
is
it's a little bit of a rebel association, exactly. And if you think about back in 10 years ago, tattoos weren't quite as accepted as they are now, and that spot was somewhat controversial. But our sales went up, and I guess for us, ultimately, that's the acid test of whether we're appealing to more people or not, because people will vote for an ad or anything we do, for that matter, with their pocketbooks.
Okay. Have you noted yet, when did this ad first run?
It just started running last Thursday, May 19th.
And does it have a set time to run, or
it's
run
scheduled
as long
to run
as it's working, or what?
It's scheduled to run through the latter part of June, and at that point we'll be switching to a new product on our menu.
Okay. Do you know about how much you're going to be spending to run it everywhere?
I think we've estimated it'll probably get between $4 and $5 million of media support.
Okay, and how much so far would you say you've gotten in earned media?
You know what? I couldn't begin to tell you, Mark. There's been so much, and we've been so busy just trying to keep up, frankly, that we haven't had time to add them all up. But I'd say we probably already surpassed that amount.
And in other words, you've gotten more in earned media already than you're planning to spend altogether.
I would think so. Not to mention the website hits that, as you may have heard, crashed our server last Friday have numbered into the hundreds of thousands and counting, and the value of those has not even been factored into the equation yet.
Can you estimate how many people you think eventually will have seen the commercial, and how many times on average they will have seen it?
I couldn't begin to at this point, but all I know over the last few days, it's been hard to avoid.
And your expectation is that both the paid and earned media, the more there is of that, the more sales you're going to have of the $6 spicy burger.
Well, I think so. This ad was written for our target audience of young males who are 18 to 34, and for them, this is exactly the kind of thing that they like to see. The Carl's Jr. image was somewhat stodgy a decade ago. It was sort of not unlike what the Wendy's advertising had been like when Dave Thomas was still alive, and the brand was struggling somewhat. And at that point, a decision was made to target young males who are the sort of the economic engine of the hamburger fast food industry.
From what you just said, I'm thinking of an alternative explanation of what the connection is. You said essentially you want people to associate the burger with being hot and spicy. You also said that this is the kind of commercial that your target demographic likes.
Exactly.
Is there anything involved, or is there anything to the hypothesis that your demographic is going to reward you for showing you? For showing them Paris Hilton like this by buying your burgers?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think the goal of the of advertising like this is twofold. One is to get people to become aware of and interested in purchasing whatever the featured burger is, in this case the spicy barbecue $6 burger, but also to kind of create a bond or a relationship between the brand itself and our core customer base.
So essentially, you want to present yourself as the kind of sort of corporate person that your customers are feeling comfortable with or be friends with or otherwise want to hang out with.
Exactly.
Is that what you're trying to do?
Exactly. And we don't do advertising. I'd say we consistently have an attitude, a sort of a young male attitude to our advertising, an edginess to our advertising, but we don't always have ads that are sort of generate this kind of attention. And but periodically, you know, we don't think that's a bad thing. If our, you know, young hungry guy, as we call them, target audience says, "Wow, that's cool! I can't believe Carl's Jr. did that." And even if it's the kind of a thing where they can go home and debate the merits of it with their parents or even their grandparents, if it's, you know, if this is the kind of thing that they can disagree on, you know, that may be something that creates an even stronger bond with a brand.
In fact, it's a video version of "As Long as You Spell Our Name Right."
Sort of, yeah, exactly.
There's no bad publicity, is what you're
saying. No, I mean, we've seen actually some media outlets have conducted their own focus groups on these ads, and believe me, we've seen, you know, we've received many, many emails from people, and the ad seems to be something that young men can't take their eyes off of because they find Paris attractive, but also young women, I think, are drawn to the ad because they view Paris as an absolute style setter in America today. So it she's sort of unique in that regard.
So young women want to be like her,
or, yeah,
and men
exactly
want to be with her.
Exactly.
Is the idea. Okay.
Exactly.
And that's
fairly rare. I don't think there are many celebrities who would fall into that category.
Not everyone appreciates the ad. I interviewed Melissa Caldwell yesterday,
uh-huh,
and she's the spokesperson for the Parents Television Council.
Uh-huh.
During that interview, she called the ad, quote, "a violation of the trust the families have bestowed on the restaurant chain,"
mm-hmm,
and said that, quote, "if they really want to self-identify as, you know, a sleaze-peddling, pandering restaurateur, I think that's something important that consumers need to know." What's your reaction to her reaction to your ad?
Well, you know, again, this our target, well, we have many people that come to our restaurant, and we serve all kinds of people from all kinds of walks of life. The bread and butter, no pun intended, of the hamburger segment are these young guys, and I guess one of the basic tenets of marketing any kind of a product or any kind of a business or any kind of a brand is to be most well liked by the group of people who will give you the most business, and that's the young guys, and that's why we target our ads for them, and they seem to love this kind of advertising. Now, one of the things that I understand from reading media accounts of what some of these groups that have been critical of the ad have said is their main objection is to some degree the content of the ad, but it's obviously there's great subjectivity as to what's acceptably racy and what isn't, but it's more so about the potential for children to be exposed to the ad. Either in terms of the programming itself or the time of day that the ad runs.
Right. Ms. Caldwell was specific about that. She said that the program that the ad had run on the OC, which she said was early in prime time and targeted to children. What do you make of that?
Well,
do you agree with that?
You know, I'd say two things. If you've ever seen the OC, I think our ad sort of pales by comparison.
All right.
to the content of that show, and it's been on the ad's been on Desperate Housewives and things like that. But I would say that our plan has always been that in the first week we would run the ad in a pretty broad way in highly rated programming, but the second week, as we often do with new advertising, is we would limit it to a certain day part or days of the week. Starting on Monday, the ad is scheduled to begin running after 9 p.m. only. And our advertising, the programs that we buy our ads on, particularly at that time of day, tend to be ads that are ones that young males would be more inclined to watch. So I'd say the potential for children to be exposed to the ad would be reduced. Again, if a child's watching The OC or Desperate Housewives, I think there's issue with there would be issues. I'm sure concerns about the content of the television show itself.
Okay. Overall, how would you weigh the relative positive and negative reviews you've gotten for running this so far?
You know, I would say that the reviews. It's hard to say there's been reviews. There's been sort of public discussion and
right.
debate about the
right.
about the ad and,
right.
and based. So to me the acid test because sometimes vocal groups can generate a lot of attention, but to me the acid test is again sort of how people vote with their pocketbooks. And if our sales are improving, then that means that ultimately we're appealing to more people than not.
What's the lead time for you to see that?
I assume you're
monitoring your sales on an hourly or minute by minute basis.
Well, every day anyway.
Right.
I'd probably drive myself crazy if I saw it more often than
right.
that. But we do see it every day, and unfortunately we don't release our sales results until our scheduled financial reporting period ends, and that's probably about another 2 weeks from now for a 4 week period that ended just about when the Paris advertising began, so you wouldn't get a good sense from that. So maybe 5 or 6 weeks before you hear.
So you're saying in a few weeks you are going to release. We release
sales for a 4 week window at a time.
But the whole 4 weeks.
Yeah, and exactly. And in about I'd say 10 days, we will probably release results for the most recent 4 week period that just ended, I think, yesterday. So only a few days of that 4 week period will have Paris. The subsequent one, which is unfortunately probably 5 or 6 weeks away, will be the first period where you'll see the full impact of the advertising. But I can't tell you until you see those results with any specificity what's going on. But all I can say is even in the first few days, we're pleased with the results.
Okay, you know, I think I know the answer to this question, but I want to ask it anyway. Based on the complaints that Ms. Caldwell, her organization, other people who felt that the ad was too hot and too spicy, are you going to pull the ad?
At this point, we don't have plans to pull the ad. We let the business in our restaurants tell us whether we're appealing to more people than not. And again, based on just on what I've read, I think the primary issues that we are hearing tend to be more around whether the ad is accessible from either a program, either by airing in a program or a time of day that children are likely to see it. And I think, again, our plan was always next week to begin running the ad after 9 p.m. in programs geared for men. And I think that will, I believe that will address many of the issues. And I sincerely hope it will address many of the issues that are out there, because it's troubling to us to have people that have serious concerns about anything that we're doing. But again, we let people vote with their pocketbooks for the most part.
As you're doing this, do you feel either of these two things, that you're expanding the realm of artistic freedom, or that you're pandering to less agreeable sensibilities and you're ashamed of it, but you do it because it helps your business?
I'd say neither are good choices. I wouldn't say we're doing either one. I'd say we are developing a fast food ad, that's really all it is. It's not a piece of art. It's not a cultural statement.
In a word, it's just business.
It's just an ad, and you know, in the grand scheme of things that are going on in the world, at the end of the day, it's just an ad.
Okay, and this is the end of the interview, but I want to thank you very much for talking to us about the ad, and we'll continue to monitor the situation.
My pleasure, Mark, and feel free to call back anytime you want to chat.
Okay, thanks
right.
a lot.
Take
Bye.
Care. Bye. Bye-bye.